Blog Talk Radio.
And a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UCB Radio Podcast. This is the Redbird Rants edition. I am Michael Miles, co-editor at Redbird Rants, and I'm joined tonight by my favorite co-host, Tito Rivera, my favorite co-editor at Redbird Rants, the only other co-editor at Redbird Rants. And Tito, welcome again to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to be on. I'm looking forward to a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it's always kind of tough for us to do 30 minutes. If you, our listeners, are not aware, we, a subsidiary, a sister site of the UCB, a member of the United Cardinals Bloggers at Redbird Rants, we do have a podcast of our own that airs every Monday and Thursday. We record live here on Blog Talk Radio as well, but our shows are an hour long, and so talking for 30 minutes sometimes is difficult. Tito and I have experienced that when we've done one of these before. The time is gone.
Yeah, it goes by very, very quickly.
Very quickly. So let's jump into it. Before we do, wanted to say a special little note. Tito's stepping in tonight. My cousin Ben Lawson was going to join me tonight, and I want to send out a special message to my cousin Ben and his wife Samantha, as they had one of their beloved pets pass away today. Very tough decision for them, and just thinking about him tonight. So I wanted to pass that along. But Tito, thanks for jumping in and being ready to go at a moment's notice.
Sure, no problem. My condolences to your family, but a happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, Tito. Yeah, it's been a great day, really wonderful day. Usually I don't like birthdays, but as I'm getting older, I'm starting to like them a little bit more. And today was one that was a really, really great day. 37 is coming like a load of bricks, and I'm feeling every bit of the 37. That's not helped by the fact that we just finished moving. And man, I tell you, I just don't rebound like I used to. But speaking of rebounding, how's that for a transition? Speaking of rebounding,
sure.
The St. Louis Cardinals came out of the All-Star break and showed that they can win. Is this just an anomaly here at the start? Or, I mean, what do you think about these wins, Tito? I mean, should we be happy about them? Is there anything to be learned from them? Or is this just some dumb luck?
Maybe a little bit of both. I think the Cardinals, you know, when we originally started the podcast, or, you know, a couple weeks ago on our big podcast, you know, if you remember, the question was, what are the biggest series coming out of, you know, out of the All-Star break? And if you remember, I said the first, you know, three series are really going to dictate what the Cardinals do at the trade deadline. And
yeah,
maybe they heard me and maybe they didn't, but that might be playing a factor. They know that their season is on the line right now, and now's the time to do it. If they want to show that they can win ball games, they need to go out and they need to go and take care of teams that they know they can beat. Now, you know, realistically, you should have probably beat the Pirates in that series, you know, 2-1, and you still have a chance to take 3 or 4 from the Mets, which, you know, granted, today they went up against probably the hottest pitcher in baseball right now, but there's always a chance to take 4 of 4 from the Mets. So, you know, realistically, them winning, you know, 3 games and splitting another, you know, splitting 6 games essentially, it's a good start, but they're essentially no further than they were when they started. So they need to keep piling on wins. They need to come out tomorrow with some fire and say, okay, hey, we have a chance to win 3 of 4. Let's go take care of business. The Mets aren't that good, so their pitching is not going to be there. You know, the Cardinals are going to go send out Carlos Martinez. So they need to go take this series.
So let's go see series by series. So we came out of the break,
sure,
and we faced the Pirates. And, you know, I think we saw initially, to me, we saw the same Cardinals team. But then we saw people like Tommy Pham come out with the biggest chip on his shoulder, right? And he really put the team on his back, and he really seemed to invigorate, at least to me, the club in a way of saying, you know, what we're doing is not good enough, and even when I have a great game, that's not good enough. So what were your takeaways from the Pirates series, the first one out of the break?
Well, I think it was a tale of the bullpen yet again and their inability to finish games. You know, the Cardinals had an opportunity to win the first game. They ended up losing 5-2. They took care of business in game two, and then Cecil takes the loss in game three and blows the save. And, you know, Cecil probably, you know, summed it up pretty well, that the bullpen just doesn't know what role they are. And that's a problem. Much like, you know, you would have roles in your lineup, who your leadoff hitter is, who your second, third, and fourth guys are, the bullpen needs that role-defining moment. And if Cecil has the success of the seventh and eighth innings, there should have been no reason for him to be closing. Granted, yes, he was our hottest bullpen piece at the time, but he's been more successful at those innings than he was in the ninth. So it didn't make sense for me to do that. Now, Trevor Rosenthal, being a former closer, should have been in the ninth inning. And yet Mike Matheny continues to show us that his bullpen management is among the worst in the MLB. And I just don't know if he really gets how to set your bullpen up for success. And that's why I say the bullpen, you know, was the biggest story coming out of the Pittsburgh series. Now, it's great to score runs. You know, you would think 5-4-4 are pretty good. So I don't blame the offense. I'm totally blaming the losses on the bullpen, but more so on Matheny than I am the bullpen.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. I'm actually really much in agreement with you. I'm really glad you brought up Cecil's comments, because I wanted us to get to that. You know, I am not a Mike Matheny fan, and I do not apologize for that. You know, if anyone follows me on Twitter, you get to see a lot of Mike Matheny and John Mabry hate. If you follow some of the things that I write, you get to see a lot of Mike Matheny and John Mabry hate. And I will tell you that I completely agree with you. Mike Matheny cannot manage a bullpen. And I've said it before, Mike Matheny is a great on-paper manager. And I think he manages very well into planning for a game if they go into the game. But he has the gross inability of making changes on the fly. And quite honestly, a bullpen, now granted, you can set up the roles and have them play the specific roles, which Cecil talked about, and I want to circle back to that in just a minute. But the bullpen and bullpen management from a managerial standpoint is really looking at the impending matchups and seeing what works the best. Because even if you have a Cecil who works best in the seventh, but you know that there are two or three lefties back-to-back coming up in the eighth, if you can get the guys out in the seventh, then maybe you hold him for the eighth. That being if he has good numbers against those lefties who are coming up. I just don't see that Matheny has the capability to be able to do that. Now, the disappointing thing there is Lilloquist should. And if it's an issue that Lilloquist can't step up and say, Mike, no, you don't need to send him in now, or why don't we assign some roles? If he has the true inability to say that, and by the way, we've heard this before. This refrain has come up that Matheny likes yes men, and that he doesn't like to be challenged. And I think that's what we're seeing. But back to
it's very possible.
Yeah, and back to the comments from Cecil, I think that we started to see that maybe start to play out in the games against the Mets in some way, maybe. But I think it's very telling when a pitcher who has just lost a game says, instead of just coming out and say, look, I blew it, or I didn't get it, or something happened. He comes out and he says, we don't really know what we're supposed to do out there because we have not been given any specific roles. And in that regard, right. That's a huge red flag for me because that says we have no leadership.
Yeah, and think about it this way. You say no leadership. Cardinals won game 2-0, and it went Lynn, Bowman, Rosenthal, Lyons. Why Rosenthal pitched in that game is beyond me.
Because me too.
Look what happens in the next game. Cecil comes in the ninth and blows the game. Cecil hasn't had a save in, you know, I think it was almost in 2 years. So to put him in a situation where he hasn't been in who knows how long and to expect success is crazy. I mean, it's crazy that you would think that, and I understand that Cecil has been the Cardinals' best reliever as of late, but that doesn't mean squat. That doesn't mean he's ready to be in the ninth inning because you expect him to get three outs. That's not how it works. And I just don't think he understands that. But I will say this. We, as in the fans and the media and whoever, I'm sure we're playing a role in all this too, though. And I'm sure that he hears it, saying, what are you doing? Why are you not throwing Cecil at this point? Why are you not doing this? And why are you not doing that? I'm sure he hears that. And I'm sure that messes with his head. But we're fans. We're not the manager. Go manage the club. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, and you know, when you say that about, you know, the fans are saying it, the media is saying it, and that he hears it, La Russa heard it too. But La Russa had enough of a spine to say that he made the decision. I mean, I recall so many post-game comments where La Russa would come in just pissed at the world because of how things turned out. And the media would start to second-guess, say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And I remember several times La Russa saying, I'm the manager, and he'd turn and walk off the dais. I mean, that's what a manager does. That's not what Matheny does.
Right. And it's tough.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just saying that, you know, it's tough. I understand, you know, it is a tough decision to make. And some days you're like, okay, well, what can I do? Because I'll give some slight benefit of the doubt to Matheny. You know, the biggest question for the Cardinals is the inconsistency of the bullpen, you know, besides the offense, obviously, but the inconsistency of the bullpen. So you never know what you're going to get. And I'm sure that's how he feels.
Well, I have to be honest with you, too. I'm never sure what Matheny we're going to see either. Is he going to be just super passive Matheny, or is he going to be stoic Matheny? Or is he going to be super passive Matheny? Or is he going to be stoic Matheny? I mean, you see the pattern here that, you know, I'm starting to figure out. It just always frustrates me that we don't see any real fire out of him. Okay, and speaking of that, let's use that as a little bit of a jumping point to the Mets series. You know, there's a great picture that someone put on Twitter, and this is how I'm making that connection, of when Pham hit a big home run, and I believe in game one. And Matheny is sitting there, and there's no joy in his face. There's no smile. And, of course, this is that whole old refrain of, you know, being in Club Matheny or not Club Matheny, and that there's some bizarre reason that Matheny doesn't like Tommy Pham, even though Tommy Pham is doing a great job. And I was not a big Tommy Pham fan. I've written many times that he's made of glass. You know, he was so injury-prone. But, listen, I'm coming around, my friend. So what did you think about the games we've seen thus far in New York?
Well, you have to hand it to the Cardinals. You know, after losing 2 to Pittsburgh, they come out with some, you know, fire in their bellies and take the first 2 in pretty convincing fashion. Wainwright looked really good. I mean, Matheny probably kept him in longer than he needed to be, but Wainwright looked really good. And, you know, Cecil got the save. So that's interesting too. Waka, I mean, what can you say? If there ever was a pitcher fighting for his life in the rotation, you know, Waka did as good of a job as you could possibly do, going for his, you know, first complete game shutout for the Cardinals. And right now, the story for me in this Mets series, you know, barring Mike Leake's performance tonight, has been the starting pitching. And I misspoke earlier, and I said that Martinez was going. It's actually Lynn going tomorrow against Seth Lugo. So the Cardinals have another opportunity to really get that third win of the series, take the series, and set themselves up for a fight against the Cubs this weekend. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is if the rotation continues to do well, you know, that's going to be great for us. And, you know, really, if you're going to take anything else away from the Mets series, is will Lynn continue to pitch well? He has, and he did, you know, against Pittsburgh. But if he continues to pitch well, where does that lead us with the trade market for him? I mean, he's still great. You know, the Cardinals aren't that far back in the record still, you know, in the standings. So I'm not too sure if Lynn is fighting for a trade here. But if he continues to pitch well and the Cardinals have an opportunity to move him, I wouldn't be surprised if he does get moved.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. In fact, I was actually going to ask you if you think Lynn will even leave the New York area after he pitches tomorrow. And the reason I ask that is that I think he will too, but wouldn't it be interesting if he doesn't? And what I mean by that is, you know, you and I have sort of teased that maybe Lynn is a very nice fit for the Yankees. The Yankees have certainly been very busy, and I want to get to that in just a minute. But we've seen it happen before. I don't think that he would stay in New York. I think he will travel with the team because, honestly, I think he's probably got this start and maybe one more start, maybe, if he's going to be traded. It also just really wouldn't surprise me if Mozeliak and Mike Giersch just hold on to him for the rest of the year, which would be frustrating to me, but it wouldn't surprise me. Now, that being said, let me tell you my takeaways. Yeah, hold that thought.
There you go.
Hold on to it.
Yeah,
so my takeaways from the Mets are, you know, we hit the Mets at a time that they were very much hurt. And they've got guys out left and right, and they're not playing very well. And as you said before, we even started the series. You know, this is one of those paramount series that we need to take and take pretty handedly. And you know, I thought we did well, like you said, in the first two games. And I mean, I don't know what happened today. I have to be honest, I didn't really even watch it. You know, I saw early on, I had missed the first couple of innings. I saw we were down pretty significantly. And with it being my birthday, I decided not to get frustrated with the Cardinals. So I didn't even turn it on. that's how this season has gone. That being said, I think tomorrow is a very important game. And I think it has to be a very important game because for a couple of reasons, one being Lynn pitching and the other just being setting the tone. Because as you said, you know, we only took one from the Pittsburgh series. Here we've taken two. We can really change the wind that's behind our sails if we were to take a third of the four in New York, which would give us a bit of momentum going in to face the Cubs. And the Cubs, too, are getting a little banged up, if you notice. Chris Bryant today went head first into third, sprained a finger, his pinky finger, in his hand, and doesn't look to be broken being day to day. So we may not see him at all during the series because I don't think the Cubs think we're much of a competition. That said, he may play in, say, the third game if we take one of the two first. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But let's, in the time we have left, let's talk about the big heavy stuff. And we sort of teased it that the Yankees have been busy lately. They just made a huge trade today where they are announced today. We all knew about it yesterday where Todd Frazier is joining the Yankees. Yeah, not alone. There was, I think, another player that came over with him. And the Yankees were sending a couple to Chicago. That's busy. Do you think they're going to go after a pitcher too?
They have to. I mean, if they're serious enough to move for Todd Frazier and David Robertson and I think the other relief pitcher, you know, they're going to have to go find somebody that could be a starting rotation guy. Now, I think this is where, you know, the trouble of this year's trade market is that there are so many rental players and not enough long-term players. The only long-term player that really, you know, a starting pitcher-wise that was on the market was Jose Quintana, and he's gone. He's, you know, he's in Chicago, or, well, he's with the Cubs, but he's gone. There is nobody else. Sonny Gray, his asking price is going to be crazy because of what happened with Quintana. And anybody else that thinks that has control for, you know, I say control loosely because I'm talking about maybe 2.5 years worth. That's not a lot. But essentially, anybody that has any control is going to be worth a lot because of what the Cubs did. And so if I'm the Yankees, I'm looking to get somebody that, you know, maybe this is a rental, but if we can show that we're going to win, maybe they can sign him. And but trust me, the Yankees got plenty of money, and we all know it. And Lance Lynn looks like a guy that could be a Yankee. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And if, you know, again, I wrote another article about a Cardinal player going to Yankee, and I got a little heat for it because I suggested Gleyber Torres, their number one prospect. And, you know, if people are going to come after me for suggesting that, do you see, again, I point to the fact of what you saw the Cubs give up for Jose Quintana. That's what happens. If you're not going to be realistic with your trade, it's not going to happen. And, again, people are okay with Lynn going, but they're not okay with Matt Carpenter going. So, I tell Cardinal Nation, face reality and be prepared to see some of your favorites go, because that's just the business of the game. If the Cardinals fall out of favor, they will move for peace. They will move to sell pieces off. And Bill DeWitt can call it whatever he wants. Buyer, seller, dealer, it doesn't matter. A spade is a spade. You're selling. That's it.
Yeah, and listen, I want to completely agree with you. And you know that. I thought your suggestion of Matt Carpenter going to the Yankees is pure genius. And I can absolutely see that happening. I can absolutely see Matt Carpenter and Lance Lynn joining the Yankees. Carpenter gives them a few years of control. Lance Lynn's a free agent at the end of the year, but he comes to them very cheaply, and that's going to be very attractive to the Yankees. Listen, I think they absolutely would give up that number one prospect because the Yankees know they can go pick up anybody they want at any time. They have that kind of money. And right now they're chasing Boston, and they're going to have to beat Boston. And they know they can do that if they pick up players like a Lynn and a Carpenter. And by the way, both of those players are cheap by Yankee sure. dollars. And I think that's very, very doable. And I think the Cardinals would be foolish to not offer something like that.
Let me say this too. I talked with my friend who's a Red Sox fan this morning, and he said that the Red Sox are actually considering going for Manny Machado. Think about that.
Interesting.
And if you had the Yankees going for Frazier, they got him, they got their bullpen stuff, and the Red Sox go get Manny Machado, with that kind of lineup, do you think the Yankees would ever beat them if they don't get the starting pitcher?
No, it doesn't make sense.
That's why I'm telling you, if Boston were to get Manny Machado, I guarantee you the Yankees will start calling people for starting pitching because it has to happen. And,
I've got to believe there's a Yankee guy calling people right now.
I'm sure they are, but who? But who are they going to call that's going to be willing to give up stuff? Because at one point you would think, well, maybe if the Royals had not, you know, proven their worth for what it is, many people probably would have been calling maybe Ian Kennedy or even Jason Vargas. And Jason Vargas is kind of in the same boat as Lance Lynn. Free agents at the end of the year, cheap now for a rental. But, you know, the Yankees are running out of options, and they're going to have to face the music at some point and say, okay, well, where are we going to get our where is our starting pitching going to come from? And that's why I say that the Yankees needed to, or the Cardinals, if the Yankees come calling for Lance Lynn, need to throw out the name Gleyber Torres and see if they bite. If they don't bite, then so be it. You know, that's okay. But if Boston goes gets Manny Machado, wow, that is a power battle.
Gosh, I agree. And I'll tell you what, that would make me an AL East fan if that happens. I'd be watching every one of those games for sure. And I lived in New York City for several years, and I was a Yankee fan because I just could not bring myself to be a Mets fan since I grew up a Cardinals fan. I just couldn't root for a National League team. And that was back in the heyday when the Yankees were great. And that brings up a good point, because the Yankees then were postseason perennials, and they've had a postseason drought. And I think that everything's looking like they can't let that happen again. I think Girardi can't let that happen again. And, you know, I can see them going out and doing that. Speaking of moves as well, though, we also saw, and rentals, we also saw Arizona pick up J.D. Martinez, which was a name that I've kicked around for the Cardinals. I think you kicked around a little, too. And he goes over to Arizona, and his first at-bat tonight gets hit on the hand and may be out. Yeah. And
welcome to the
National That's right. And he's also he is a rental. You know, because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. A lot of rentals, not a lot of control.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, you know, because we have bemoaned the lack of mobility that we're seeing from the Cardinals front office into this trade deadline. But as I've stopped today and sort of thought about the trades that we've seen happening, we're not seeing any blockbuster moves yet. And I'm wondering, and you tell me what you think, but I'm wondering if this year's trade market here at the deadline is going to be a sleepy one and may only have one major splash. What do you think?
It's tough to say. It's probably going to end up with maybe one or two major moves, and that's probably it. You know, minor moves might be, you know, give me a reliever here or there, but it would take something truly special to really move a lot of pieces. And if you think about it, the only teams, you know, the teams that are leading their divisions, the only teams that really have anything to work with in terms of prospects, Brewers, the Cubs did, the Yankees, and maybe Boston. The Nationals don't have anybody. The Dodgers, they're not going to give up anybody. They're too cheap. They're way too cheap. And so, you know, even the wild card teams, they haven't even moved on anything. And maybe they're waiting on something. But I think a lot of teams are scared about the prospect of what the Cubs gave up to get Quintana. And they think they're going to have to give up as much to get some of these players. Now, Arizona didn't really give up that much to get J.D. Martinez. But if that's all that's going to happen, then, yeah, maybe you're right. This is a sleeper of a trade deadline. And, boy, will that infuriate a lot of people.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And I wish we could go on for much longer, but we've actually run out of time.
Yeah.
And it was a great, wonderful 30 minutes.
Fast.
Very fast. What a great end to my birthday. And Tito, again, I want to say thanks for jumping on here and getting ready to go, and really appreciate it. And you guys, check us out at redbirdrants.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Go Cardinals.